order. Thank you. All right, we're going to start off with asking for approval of the agenda. We have a motion.
I'm going to do the roll call.
Roll call, I'm sorry, call to order. No, let's do the roll call first.
Roll call. We want the mic on?
Yeah. So we have Director DeLara.
Here.
Director Borja.
Here.
Director Perez-Gil. Director Rogers.
Here.
Director Matthews?
Here.
Vice President
Zindel?
Here.
And President
Worthy? Here. Okay, now I can ask, do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Opposed? None hearing. We need to have the Pledge of Allegiance, and who's going to lead us tonight? All right, Jeff.
All right. Repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No, it's you with me.
Okay, before we go to public comment, I'd like to acknowledge a few of our esteemed members of the audience tonight. We have Savvy Jonathan from Palm Desert City Council. We have Christy Holstedge from Palm Springs City Council. We have Jeff Kors from Palm Springs City Council. Elaine Holmes from Indio City Council. And then we have Greg Rodriguez representing the Honorable Manny Perez, Supervisor, 4th District, County Board of Supervisors. Did I miss anybody? All right. We also have with us this evening Tom Kirk, who is the is President or Executive Director of CVAC?
Executive Director.
Executive Director of CVAC. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. So now we can move on to public comment at this time. Comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The board has a policy of limiting speakers to no more than 3 minutes. The board cannot take action on items not on the agenda. Public input may be offered on agenda items when they come up for discussion and or action. So do we have anybody that has an item that is not pertaining to the agenda this evening?
Can you speak closer to the microphone, please?
Do we have anybody? Thank you. I thought it was on. Is it on? Can you hear me?
No, it's on.
That's why it's not on.
It says it's on.
The little button in the middle.
It says on.
Hello? Can you hear me? No, this one is
it. Sorry, I thought it was
on.
We will.
Anyway, you can watch it.
I'll try to yell. Sorry. Okay.
Tech support.
Okay, what says in the agenda here about public comment? Do we have any public comment that's not related to the agenda this evening? Okay, we're going to move on to item E, the workshop homelessness initiative. And the first item on the agenda is the Coachella Valley Collaborative to End Homelessness Update and Staff Report. And I believe that will be coming from Chris Christensen.
Thank you. Regarding the homelessness initiative that the foundation took
on. You need to use the mic, Chris.
A little louder.
The mic or louder?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So the homelessness initiative that the foundation took on or proposed setting aside monies for a couple of years ago has been a process. But at the June 26th board meeting was when the Barbara Poppy report was announced and agreed to move forward with that Barbara Poppy report process. So through that, there was a presentation by Barbara Poppy that was entitled The Path Forward. And so that was a large presentation about the work that was done in presenting or in preparing, you know, all the from all the focus groups and community input that was used.
This one.
Is that better?
This one doesn't work.
Can you hear me now?
This one doesn't work.
Hear me at all? Okay. All right, I'll keep talking loud. Is that loud enough for everyone to hear? No. Can you hear now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So what from that report, then the board approved a motion to accept the framework to continue the Housing First and convene with the Coachella Valley Collaborative to End Homelessness. And that was a recommendation from the Barbara Poppy report. And the board directed staff to continue with the current strategies within the collective, create a framework of timeline and timeline, and identify possible funding and program opportunities. At the December 18th board meeting, the board directed staff to provide a budget for estimate for the collaborative positions. There were three positions that were recommended by the Barbara Poppy report for the collaborative. January 22nd, the staff provided a budget for the three positions as information for review by the board. There was also a budget that was included for that, which for those that do have the packet, there was a budget of estimated of roughly $700,000 for a two-year period. If there was a fiscal agent that supported those employees, if the foundation itself were to hire those individuals, it would be an estimated budget of roughly $800,000 over a two-year period. So from that, at the same meeting, the board was directed staff to provide a proposal for consideration of approval for the foundation to staff the collective, including potential funding from a HEAP grant. So staff have done a lot of work behind the scenes and working to develop some framework and some time involved with that. On February 6th, last month's board meeting, public comment was provided by Tom Kirk from CVAG and also Heather from Lift to Rise. And from that meeting, Director Wortham scheduled this special session tonight to discuss further development of the collaborative and further understand the work of Lift to Rise and to hear input from any other organizations or public input from the community. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Savvy to take over for CVAG, and then he can introduce Tom Kirk, who will be presenting for CVAG.
Thank you. Right here?
Mm-hmm.
Find out if this microphone works. Seems to. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Hello, everyone. It's good to see you again, and thank you for giving us an opportunity to address the board. Appreciate that very much. The first thing I want to do, of course, is to thank you once again for taking not just a leadership position, but an impactful leadership role in the effort with regard to homelessness. You should know that in the past year, I think in many ways, we've had the most effective year working on a regional and collaborative basis in terms of addressing homelessness. Certainly, the stakeholders and the players that have been involved in that effort demonstrate the success. And this year, when we're asking for renewed funding, thanks again to your generous matching program, we're again inspiring cities, counties, tribes to be a part of the solution. And I'll share with you, if you haven't heard already, that as an example, the city of Rancho Mirage recently voted, I believe, on a 5-0 vote to again participate in the regional effort. They had been part of funding Roy's and then went in a different direction, and they're back in the fold. So we thank you for taking that leadership role. It has been very effective and productive. So, you know, just to update you with regard to the CVAC Homelessness Committee, in our last meeting, we support the Barbara Poppy report and its recommendations, particularly with regard to moving forward with the collaborative at our meeting. So we see that as taking the program that is in place now, which is regional and is holistic, to a new level, and that is exciting to us, and we fully support it. The question, of course, is how to best get there. When we met, we didn't have the benefit of some of the alternatives that you're considering. We had a very brief presentation from Lift to Rise, but it was just kind of introducing themselves. It was not a proposal, and there was certainly no indication that they would be part of a collaborative. So without the benefit of that insight, the committee's vote was to go ahead and support the position of an interim coordinator, if you will, and we approved Greg Rodriguez for that position. And the idea was that that position would simply transition the current program to the collaborative. Not that it would be a permanent position, not create a structure, but frankly, this is new to all of us, and it requires transitioning. And we did not want to lose momentum in that transition. We didn't want one program to stop, create a vacuum with no program in place, and then 6 months, a year, or 3 years, whatever these things take later, then we have a collaborative. So the whole idea was to have an interim coordinator that transitions the program. Tom Kirk will be addressing some of the alternatives, I think, that are before you, and perhaps there are others. I want you to know that the CDAC committee is open to working with the district and other stakeholders in forming the collaborative, whatever shape that takes. Our desire, regardless, is that we continue communicating and that we'll continue working together and ultimately are on the same page in the best way to move forward. I see Christy Holstich here, who's my vice chair on that committee. Did I miss anything, Christy?
You did well.
I don't know about that. Speaking of somebody that will do well, I'll turn this over to Mr. Tom Kirk. Thank you.
Well, I should probably note, I think the city of Palm Desert recently took a 5-0 vote with their $100,000 contribution to the cause as well. So thank you, city of Palm Desert, and thank you again for the matching program. We are doing good things with it. And on the theme of what Savvy indicated is we probably had our most effective year yet this past year. And that's going to be a theme as you consider various options as we look at this collaborative and collective impact. One of the things that your president, again, raised at the homeless committee meeting back in January when the homeless committee, CDAG's homeless committee, had a chance to hear from Barbara Poppy directly too, you asked President, well, you know, what next? You know, how do we get the ball going? How do we implement what was the consensus number one recommendation in the Barbara Poppy report, right, Greg? And that was form this collaborative, focus on collective impact. And we've been struggling a bit. Now, how do we do that? And we have a number of actors involved. And I want to note for all in the audience that we're well ahead of the game for like-minded regions in this state. It's relatively easy to be a San Diego, relatively easy to be a Long Beach, and I say relatively easy just structurally, not given the huge problems they have in these communities. But when you're a big urban city, you have a social services department. Does Palm Desert have a social services department? Palm Springs kind of does. The county kind of does, and certainly the county does have a social services department, but only recently hired its first homelessness czar. And that's a person without a department and without a whole lot of funding behind her efforts. So what we're doing here is really special. And what we did even at Roy's was really special. What we're doing with the Housing First program is making an impact in our community and having a bunch of relatively smallish, medium-sized cities come together and spend money on homelessness is unprecedented in the state. My guess is having a healthcare district make the kind of contribution that you've already made, let alone what you might be making tonight or in future meetings, I suspect that's unprecedented too. I don't know if, Chris, do you, other healthcare districts taking on this issue?
I'm not aware of it.
I doubt it. I suspect that you are on the vanguard on that front. So we are, we've taken huge steps forward, and what I tried to do in the memo is offer you a couple of alternatives for your consideration. And it's going to be the same memo that I pass along to the CVAG Homelessness Committee. And I don't want to get out ahead of them. They haven't had a chance to really think about how Heather's proposal relates to the Barbara Poppy report. But some of the members will get a little bit of that flavor today as Heather comes up and explains. The three options are hire three people. It could be the foundation, it could be some other fiscal agent. You heard that hiring them through the foundation might be a little expensive. It'd be really expensive if CVAG or the county hired them, and we all know that. So there are more cost-effective solutions than government or perhaps even foundation hiring. What we did recommend through the homeless committee, and certainly I strongly endorse it, is have Greg or somebody like Greg be a point person for particularly our existing program and how it transitions to the next phase that Savvy is pointing out. I think Greg would do a fantastic job. He's obviously has a relationship with a county supervisor and also understands county processes. And the county is a huge player in social services, obviously, and a huge player on the homeless effort. Third idea is something that really emerged thanks to your president. And Jennifer contacted me a month or two ago and said she wanted to come by my office and talk about collective impact. And I don't know the second thing about collective impact. The first is I generally know how to pronounce it. But after that, I don't know very much about it. And Jennifer, you were sharing with me the work that was going on in San Diego. And I was just barely smart enough to recognize what you were describing was going on in San Diego was happening downstairs, I think, from my office with Live to Rise. And I had just recently had a couple of chances to spend time with Heather and understand that the work that they're doing on housing, and obviously there's a relationship between homelessness and housing, and a big relationship between homelessness and housing first. So we had a chance to connect the dots. Jennifer, you and I had a chance to visit with Heather. Glad that your staff reached out to her and asked her to put together some ideas on how what she is doing relates directly to that first recommendation, the consensus recommendation in the Barbara Poppe report. One thing you might ask is, how does this relate to the interim idea? How do you like being called the interim idea, Greg? It directly relates. And frankly, there's even some personal, professional reasons. My point person, we had half a person or thereabouts working at CVAG on homelessness, and she's had the nerve to go on maternity leave. I just think it's ridiculous. But she is out, and frankly, we have a lot of work to do. We want to honor our commitment to you and the Homeless Committee and CVAG's Executive Committee that said housing first, continue on with that. We're making fine-tuning the work on housing first to reflect the Barbara Poppe report. And the CVAG Homeless Committee is going to consider an extension of that work, because right now our contract ends in June. We want to extend that contract for a little bit as the collective gets up and running, whether that is through the good work that Heather does, or if you do want to go create your own collective, whatever that is, it's going to take a little bit of time. We need Greg or somebody like Greg to pick up the ball right now and help us through that transition. So that's really, in essence, I wanted to create a link between the recommendations from the Homeless Committee and to what Heather's going to propose now. I do, as Heather gets up, I do want to note, Heather, to some extent, came to this kicking and screaming. This is not Live to Rise coming to you asking for money, although money is going to be a part of the discussion. Live to Rise is busy, and they're busy on three or four cans, whatever that means, and Heather's going to describe what, in fact, that means. And we, your president and I, really pulled Heather out of that office downstairs and had her talk to the offices upstairs, the county and CVAG, and obviously with your own staff. And she, I think you're going to find her presentation as interesting as I always do, and see the direct link between what Barbara Poppe was recommending, but apparently didn't really know the details of what is already happening in the Coachella Valley and happening with outside money. And the last theme that I'll leave you with is the first, cost effectiveness. One of the things you're going to hear from Heather is she doesn't need to hire three people. They've already and are going to be hired, and there's funding that's going to be applied to the work they're doing related to data, related to a number of the other initiatives that are going on. And this really builds on their work, much like the second idea, building on the work that Greg's already doing in the supervisor's office. So it's all about cost effectiveness. I think you've got some great options before you, and I can just turn it over to Heather or address any questions right now. Chris, President, what's your preference?
what amount of time do you have?
You know, and I appreciate that. I think just running into Heather's presentations the best, maybe between the two of us, we address any questions. And thank you for starting your meeting a little early. Both Sabby and I have other things to do, but we both say this is our highest priority, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Heather. It's all yours.
Did you break the mic, Tom?
Did you break the mic?
Yeah, pay for it.
He can hold it.
It's a state mic. This is UC Riverside.
He's a gentleman. He can hold it for him.
I could.
Good evening. Thank you. And let me make sure I'm not Thank you. Good evening. Thank you, everyone. Let's pull this up a little bit. We're really happy to be here to talk to you tonight about the work of Lift Your Eyes. I have to say I feel a little bit sentimental in coming to talk to you. For those of you who aren't familiar, am I echoing?
No,
okay. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the work of Lift Your Eyes, the work of Lift Your Eyes, actually, its initial genesis was at the Desert Healthcare District boardroom table. There was a conversation this fall, it'll be 5 years ago, and one of your board members, Leticia Delara, was part of that conversation. I had just moved back to America, and my first job back in the desert was working at the United Way of the Desert. And we, Letty had this brilliant idea that together some funders in the valley should go after hiring a funding coordinator to go after outside resources because the valley is so disinvested. And sitting in that conversation, I offered that if we were gonna do that, we would have to think about the intersection of our work. And at that time, I know for a lot of folks, collective impact is a buzzword. And at that time, it really was at the height of its buzz. But I was always really taken by a collective impact frame. You guys will hear me say a lot that group projects are usually a disaster. One person ends up doing the work. And so in order to be able to sit down and effectively work together, it really requires a framework. And tonight, what I'm gonna talk to you about, I did submit a proposal to you guys last week because I was asked to think about what it might mean to integrate your intentions in ending homelessness with our existing housing stability can. I want to tell you a little bit about the genesis of Lift Your Eyes, about the work that we do, and some thoughts that we have about how this work really integrates. A place that this actually frankly, like, makes me feel a little bit emotional as I'm really glad that the work has come full circle to have this conversation with you guys, because that initial conversation that we had with Letty about what would it take to work together to overcome disinvestment, that's actually, I think, really principal to the conversation that we're having tonight. So Lift Your Eyes is a collective impact organization, and there's lots of different types of collaboration. Collective impact is a specific type of collaboration that requires the use of data, that requires constant communication, and has a few other key principles that I'll talk about tonight. So the work of Lift Your Eyes is fundamentally motivated by what we call our North Star, a vision, a belief, a result that we are driving towards, a belief in a future where all Coachella Valley families are healthy, stable, and thriving. Usually when I start this, people's eyes start to roll because that's kind of a moonshot vision, right? And it's, I would say, a really far cry from where we are right now. So when we think about how we get to that future, we say that there's three things that are really fundamental to our work, and that's story, strength, and change. So story is creating a common shared understanding from which to work. And that's really where our deep investment and our deep commitment to operating a robust research agenda and having a really strong data capacity comes in. If we don't have a shared understanding of what's happening between us, we can't actually mobilize collective action with disparate narratives about what it means to be alive in this place. One thing I'll talk about in a little bit, Lift Your Eyes is really fortunate. We have a 5-year relationship with USC's School of Public Policy, specifically its Center for Social Innovation. We have 4 researchers that are embedded in part of our staff. I always have to say this, I know there's a lot that's happened with USC in the news in the last week, and we won't talk about that so much, but USC has really been a phenomenal partner, not just to Lift Your Eyes, but the Coachella Valley. So folks sometimes wonder, I know their brand, especially in the spite of what's happened in the last week, may come into question. They have been the truest form of a partner, both to Lift Rise and the Coachella Valley, operating largely at no cost. Dr. Gary Painter is the Director of Social Policy at USC. He's a world-renowned housing economist. He is on our board of directors, and he has been with us since the very inception of our work. So that element of creating a common understanding from which to work is really important for Lift Rise. It's really important for the frame of collective impact. The second thing is strength. We believe that we have to build our collective capacity to work together towards outcomes. Like I was talking about group projects being somewhat of a disaster. Really what it means is building our capacity to show up in the work together and have shared tools and a common understanding of how we do this. And I'll talk about this a little bit later. And the last thing is change, generating results for Coachella Valley families and children. A lot of times when people's eyes roll when we talk about this work, I know that it's really content heavy, that it can seem really academic, that it can seem really philosophical. And fundamentally what we're about is creating results. And we're gonna talk about that. So I'm really sorry to those of you who have heard me talk about our work before. I'm going to tell the starfish story, and a lot of you have heard me talk about it. I think it sets really excellent context for this work. So when we started this work a few years back, one of the things that we were collectively motivated by, the folks that were part of the work from the inception, they were all investors or contributors to the food bank. And a question that folks consistently brought up was, why is there an exponential growth in food insecurity? And when we think about the work of Lift to Rise, our work is principally about addressing those underlying causes that are driving things like food insecurity, that are driving things like homelessness. So in 2012, Rich Tefel wrote this really great article in the Stanford Social Innovation Review called "Social Entrepreneurs Need to Stop Throwing Starfish." And he talked about that story, I think everybody probably knows it, of the kid on the beach who's walking along and throwing starfish back into the ocean. And an older gentleman comes up to him and says, "What are you doing? You're never gonna make a difference. There's miles and miles of starfish." And the kid says, "Well, I just made a difference to that one starfish." And what Rich said in the article is that that can often demonstrate our mentality of making a difference for an individual. But as social entrepreneurs, what we need to do is stand back and say, if there's a lot of starfish on the beach, why are they there? What's broken in the ecosystem that's causing so many starfish to be on the beach? So in 2010 in Kent in England, 10,000 starfish washed up on the beach. So what if the residents of Kent had organized a starfish throwing campaign to throw those starfish back into the ocean? Oops, I'm backwards. So they would have been throwing those starfish back into a broken ecosystem. So what we're talking about when we're talking about this kind of work of addressing underlying issues and the need to stop throwing starfish, we have to step back and say, why are there so many starfish on the beach in the first place? Why are there so many starfish of a certain color? Why? What is broken in our ecosystem and what's causing this? So in this story, I like to say that throwing starfish back into the ocean is charity, and charity is not bad. But we cannot confuse charity with justice. And when we confuse charity and justice, we fool ourselves and we actually perpetuate injustice. And so the fundamental principle of Lift to Rise is thinking about what's underneath the surface, what's happening in the ecosystem, and how do we together, collectively, create a healthier ecosystem for our friends and neighbors. So Lift to Rise, I'm gonna try to go a little faster here. Lift to Rise, we build out our work through what we call collaborative action networks. We organize in three areas: in housing stability, in health, and social connection. Our work in these three areas came through extensive quantitative and qualitative research. So we did a massive needs assessment with USC a few years ago, and what we did with that data was looked at it. Dr. Gary Painter on our board, what he did was did a lot of quantitative factor analysis and said, okay, if you move this one or two or three indicators, these indicators are going to act like shepherds, and a host of other things are going to move at the same time. So what I'm here to talk to you about tonight is the housing stability work, and what I'll tell you is that both in the quantitative and qualitative factor analysis, housing stability stood out as the number one issue. We've listened to over 1,400 residents in the last 3 years. how we got to housing stability is residents prioritized the stability of their housing. What we heard over and over again from folks is folks just don't want to be homeless. They can't pay for other things. They can't address other things if they don't have a roof over their head. So our collaborative action networks, like I said, are work groups. They're cross-sector practitioners and individuals who organize around a community-level outcome, and they use a continuous improvement process to develop an action plan with strategies that work towards an outcome. I don't want everyone to fall asleep here, so I'm going to skip a little bit of the process. Fundamentally, what we do in our collaborative action networks, we do two things. We test and scale and increase the saturation of immediately stabilizing supports for vulnerable residents, and simultaneously, we work to advance systems change. So we have this saying inside of our office, which is, what can we get done by Tuesday? We believe there is always something that we can get done by next week, and we believe we can mobilize that collective action. At the same time, we know that to tackle something as significant as housing stability in the Coachella Valley, that it's gonna take a long time to change a trend line like rent burden. So I'm gonna give you an example of what it means to test and scale an immediately stabilizing support. So in our housing work, what we heard from residents over and over again was the reason why they have instability was an inability to connect to financial institutions. So things like bank accounts, building credit. When we stood back from that, what we actually started to hear is that there was another layer under the surface. Immigration is principally an issue for folks that impacts their ability to connect to financial institutions. You guys might know that we announced, I think a week ago, that we have a really amazing partnership with Rabobank. We heard that there was an issue, the closure of accounts. I think I called a few people in the room and said, what might we do about it? I think a few of you are really friendly and kind, said you're well thinking, but you're probably not going to be able to do anything about it. We announced this week that Rabobank, after listening to us, radically changed their policy for residents across the bank that impacts thousands of residents in our state. They have a whole new policy, it was in the Desert Sun yesterday, that they accept folks regardless of residency. And what this came from and what that work is really about the spirit in which we believe in mobilizing folks, is that we can get things done by Tuesday. I think that started on a Thursday, and by Tuesday we heard back from the bank. Simultaneously, we're working to advance systems change. So our motivation in this work is that you guys all know this in the room, but nearly half of the Valley lives at or below 200% of the federal poverty level. We know that folks, we know that almost 60% of folks are rent burdened. So because we're talking about homelessness and the indicator is rent burden, I know that people are gonna have questions about the interconnection. What I wanna offer to start, if you can find my page, what I wanna offer to start is that rent burden is an indicator of measurement. It is not the project itself, it is not the theme, it is literally, think about a ruler. It is how we measure what is happening in the population. So we know that almost 60% of residents are rent burdened. This is higher than the state average. When we think about what this means, housing in the Coachella Valley is comparatively less than other places in the state of California. So in a lot of ways, rent burden in the Coachella Valley is not just about housing, it's about jobs and income. So in this housing stability work group, these folks mobilize around a goal. They want all families to have safe and affordable housing with more money left over to spend on things other than rent. And we have a 10-year goal of reducing rent burden by 30% by increasing the supply of housing by 9,881 units. So the indicator in this work group is rent burden. The targeted population is 60% of us, low-income families. And so what I'm going to get into is where we think there's an interconnection, and really inherently what you guys are talking about and what we're talking about are the same things. So in our housing stability can, and I'll stop at the end for questions, but stop me if there's questions in between. This is sort of the structure of the way that the work group works. So we have half of our partners that work on immediately stabilizing supports. So those are things like asset building, when I was talking about connecting to financial institutions. We also work with partners on increasing the scale and saturation of things that we might call safety net supports. And that's everything from scaling and increasing the saturation of things like utility subsidies to other types of public subsidies that really just help folks survive. Simultaneously, concurrently at the same time, we're holding this work about how do we radically increase the supply of housing. We cannot reduce rent burden if we do not, we cannot address people's stability if we do not address the fundamental deficit that we have in housing. Those things are absolutely interconnected. We know that in Los Angeles in the last year, more than 50% of people that entered homelessness as new homeless people entered homelessness because of the high cost of rent. Fundamentally, a lack of housing that folks can't afford is absolutely a pipeline into homelessness. So the work group works on both stabilizing supports and at the same time works on really a huge project that we got into, which I don't think we have a slide for right now. But as we built this work group out, we said, look, we're getting really good at increasing the scale and saturation of immediately stabilizing supports, but we're not going to reduce rent burden by getting more folks connected to utility subsidies. We're not going to reduce rent burden by getting more folks bank accounts. So we stepped back and said, what might we do? How might we work together to really address this problem under the surface? And through what I would like to call a series of serendipitous events, we got invited into an initiative with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation called Connect Capital. And that's really where we began to build out this regional vision for radically increasing the supply of affordable housing. And principally what this work is about is in 2008, after the Great Recession, Living Cities and the Kresge Foundation tried to invest $80 million in Baltimore and Detroit. And what they found is they could not invest their money because everything was organized on a project by project basis. So the theory that we use in this work, it's called capital absorption, but really basically what it's about is that if we're gonna solve a problem at scale, if we're gonna solve a problem in a way that really hits a lot of people's lives, that we need to address kind of what Letty talked about in that first conversation. We need to address our fundamental issue of disinvestment. How do we draw down the level of capital that's needed to radically shape our landscape? And so that's where we got to the goal of 9,881 units. And we lead that work with Riverside County's Economic Development Agency. I'm really proud to say that we were the last region out of 96 in America that were interviewed. They told us we were the least ready and we were the least shovel ready. We made it as one of six regions with the city of Seattle, the city of Milwaukee, the city of Miami, the city of Richmond, I can't remember the other one, and our rural counterpart is Appalachia. What was really, I think, significant, and Tom alluded to here, and I'll pause to say this at this point, Lift to Rise has two local funders, the Regional Access Project Foundation and the United Way of the Desert. 95% of our funding comes from outside of the valley. This year we've surpassed our fundraising goal and bringing in $2 million and we're not at the end of the fiscal year. It took the investment of the Regional Access Project Foundation, the United Way of the Desert, and folks that continually believed that we really needed to build this container. So we built a pretty incredible container for folks to come and join us in this work. And what we really believe is that our ecosystem is too disinvested. We are too underdeveloped to parse out our work. At the very least, we have to figure out how might we align our work? How might we work together? Because one of the things we hear over and over again from funders, regionally and nationally, is guys, we can't show up and ask for the same thing from the same folks. And we can't show up and say, you know what, our ecosystem is underdeveloped, if we're actually choosing not to work together. So that's sort of fundamentally my heart in coming to you and presenting our proposal. So I already told you guys this, we work in two ways to test and scale immediately stabilizing interventions. And simultaneously, we're working to build a pipeline of new housing construction to address the critical lack of supply of housing. So the significance of housing stability, and now I'm gonna get into homelessness. This is a quote from a resident. Last summer in a listening group, one has to go readjusting on one side to adjust the other, because the most important thing, or the essential thing, is having a roof over your head. Although we eat badly or dress badly, the essential thing is the roof for children, because they do not know anything yet. So we know that homelessness and housing are inherently interconnected. Homelessness rises faster where rent exceeds a third of income. Those of you guys who have heard me talk about this a lot lately are probably bored of me citing the same research, but you can just Google it. The Zillow study shows that for every 2% increase in rent, there's a 5% increase in homelessness. When rent goes up $100 in LA, the other side rises 15%. This is inherently a pipeline. It's inherently one end of a problem that we have to connect to the other. So, when we've thought about this in the proposal that we offered to you, we've thought that there's actually a really good fit. When Jennifer and Tom and other folks started talking to us about this, we think that there is absolutely space in the Housing Stability CAN for a homelessness subcommittee. We think that this work, the investment, the significant investment of both time and resource that folks have made to our region and to Lift to Rise to build this work out is absolutely mutually reinforcing to the goals that you guys have. And so we think that there would be an appropriate fit for the homelessness subcommittee to live inside the housing CAN, to benefit from the stabilizing supports. But in a lot of ways, we felt that this really, when we looked at the Poppy report, we had not seen it. I think it was actually someone from Tom's office who brought down Lift to Rise's action plan from 2 years ago in the Poppy report and put them, the Barbara Poppy report, and put them side by side. And there's a lot of places where literally the intention is absolutely the same. So again, we come in a spirit of saying, how do we think about putting this work side by side? How do we strengthen ourselves as a region to continue to advance this work? So again, this is the structure of the housing CAN. We left out a slide, so I'm going to tell you about what that slide would have said. Lift to Rise already has a backbone structure. I'm the CEO of Lift to Rise. Currently, we have 6 staffers. In 3 weeks, we will have 9. This summer, with the addition of 3 legal fellows, we will have 12 folks. So we have folks in the office that are there and willing to pick up this work and have the capacity to do that. We think that there's a perfect fit to augment into the work that you guys are intending to do, and I talked about that a lot in the proposal we presented to you guys last week. We want the same things. We all want families to have safe and affordable housing. We want people to have more money left over to spend on things other than rent. So principally, I think the result that we're going after and the work that you guys are about, they are absolutely the same thing. So I had some questions about the governance and the structure of Lift. And I tried to leave a lot out about partners and in sort of the history of Lift because I didn't want to confuse folks. But I was able to extract this today from our website. These are the 3 work groups that exist in Lift to Rise. So the Housing Stability Work Group I talked about. We also have these other 2 work groups. So we have a social connection work group that primarily focuses on behavioral health and immigration strategies. We have a health work group. The health work group uses a headline indicator of childhood obesity. And in terms of the same frame that you guys saw for the housing stability work, it's the same in the others. We hold a frame of concurrency. We work on scaling and increasing the saturation of things that provide immediate stabilizing support to folks in those areas, while also trying to tackle the structure of the system. Why we care about tackling the structure of the system is because we care about getting to results at scale. So the way that our work is held together, so we have an advisory table, which actually the Desert Healthcare District has participated in from time to time over the last few years. And that is CEOs and leaders of organizations that are really championing the work that's happening in the collaborative action networks and are able to assign staff. So I think I had an email asking me about governance and sort of membership. That is open to folks who are able to make a contribution towards advancing that North Star result. It's the same as the collaborative action networks. The more folks working together, the better. We are working on operationalizing a resident table. We'll have a full-time community engagement coordinator on staff soon. And as we staff up, one of the faults that we could definitely recognize in Lift to Rise's work is while we absolutely prioritize community listening and resident voice, I will be the first to say that it's been somewhat extractive the way that we do it. We listen to folks, we offer it as research, and then we step back and say, well, what does this mean for us? And we're really in this, I would say, turning the corner in our journey of wanting to really make sure that residents aren't just informing our work, that residents are actually driving it. And that's a fundamental turn that's happening right now in our work. So in terms of the governance of our organization, we have that staff that I just talked to you about, which I call our backbone support. Our board of directors. Our board of directors is really small. We did a lot of legal research and a lot of research of other collective impact organizations across the country and said, what does it take to have a board of directors that can champion and nurture this kind of collaboration? The first thing we learned is you cannot have a big board. We could not go and concentrate perceived power or reinstitutionalized power over in some corner that would in some way be directing the rest of the work. So our board is made up of national, regional, and local thought leaders and folks who are able to advance this work. It's in our bylaws, it's who we are as an organization. The board exists to champion collaboration. The board does not exist to tell folks what to do. It exists to provide a sound container for this work. Oh, I think that's it. So that's the end of what I wanted to offer to you in terms of what Lift to Rise is and where we think that there's an intersection. I think we wrote a lot more about it in our proposal, but I am really grateful for this opportunity to think together, to work together towards a future where we can solve these problems together. We're certainly not going to solve problems like housing instability unless we all get in the canoe and row together. There was water a couple of weeks ago in a row. So with that, I will leave it open for questions.
Anybody have any questions? Public input? Questions from the board first or public input first?
Up to you guys.
Okay, we'd like to get some.
At this time, we'd like to open.
At this time, if anybody in the public would like to make a comment, you're welcome to come up, please, or if you have any questions.
Good evening. My name is Melody Winterhead. I'm with the Federal Reserve Bank and a member of the leadership table at Lift to Rise. My organization in community development has a mission, and that is to promote the economic resilience and mobility of low and moderate income families and underserved individuals in low income communities. The Federal Reserve Bank's Community Development Department recognizes the opportunity to support individuals and families in the Eastern Coachella Valley to experience economic resilience. To obtain resilience, there must be community resilience. And to have community resilience, it has to be anchored within access to human, political, economic, and social capital. In our view, Lift to Rise is well positioned to aid residents to achieve equity in those forms of capital in the region that addresses root cause issues preventing community that would prevent community and social change. The Housing Stability, Health, and Social Connectedness Collaborative Action Networks are examples of how that can happen. We will continue to support the work of Lift to Rise by introducing the team to opportunities for investment and financing as required to achieve their long-term goals to improve life in the Eastern Coachella Valley, where all Coachella Valley families are healthy, stable, and thriving. Thank you.
Do you have any other public comments? Yeah.
Hi, good evening. Christy Holstich, Council Member, City of Palm Springs. I'm joined by my colleague, Mayor Pro Tem Kors, and we represent the city's homelessness task force. I'm also the vice chair, I always want to call myself a co-chair, savvy, of the CVAG Homelessness Subcommittee. So on behalf of our city, we wanted to thank you for your leadership. Your leadership has really driven this issue, homelessness, forward in the Coachella Valley. If not for your funding, your matching programs, we wouldn't be here today. And that's incredibly important leadership that we're extremely grateful for. And we're grateful for the partnership between the city and the healthcare district. I'm not here to tell you one option or the other, and I'm not going to speak to that. I just want to speak in general about the need for collaboration and making sure that we're all on the same page and we move forward together. You know, I want to thank you for commissioning the Barbara Poppy report and leading from a data-driven perspective and knowing that we need to be intentional and strategic about how we spend our limited dollars on homelessness, and making sure that we're doing that in a thoughtful way as opposed to throwing more programs on the, you know, chopping block or on the docket like sometimes we do. So I think that's incredibly important that we're filling real gaps in the community and not just doing things the way that we've done them before. I know that the Poppy reports caused some divergence, I think, between strategic partners, and we've been working together for a long time. And I think some of that was about how the report was presented by Barbara Poppy herself. And I think some of that was just, you know, reading different interpretations of the report. But I actually think we all agree. I think we all agree that a collective is the way to go. I think that we agree that all the stakeholders should have a voice in that, that it shouldn't just be CVAG or it shouldn't just be the cities, that it should be the service providers as well, the people affected, so that a collaborative will give a true voice to those people who are truly affected, and make sure that we're all on the same page and can move forward together. And I think that we all agree that the main goal is to reduce homelessness in the Coachella Valley as a region. And we've been really thoughtful and strategic about working together as a regional partner. You know, our residents in Palm Springs, they want us to do a lot of things right away. And sometimes it's managing that, but we really need to all work together on the same plan, the same approach, so that it's effective. You know, here in the Coachella Valley, we don't have a lot of services, we don't have a lot of funding for these types of programs, and sometimes we feel like we're competing, and we feel like we're competing with cities and other agencies, and so that's why it's so much more important to be on the same page and work together. And I've always said, for the city of Palm Springs on CVAG, we also want to see services in the West Valley, whatever that may be, and it sounds like a lot of that from the Barbara Poppy report is housing and permanent supportive housing. So thank you for your leadership and all of your work on this and considering these options. I think it's bold to consider a collective impact model where other healthcare districts haven't gone before. I think that's incredible leadership, and we're lucky to be a partner with you in this work. So thank you very much.
Hi, good evening, President Wortham, Vice President Zendel, and directors of the Desert Healthcare Foundation. My name is Taylor Leibold Barner, and I am a business development manager and assistant planner at MSA Consulting. And I really appreciate the opportunity to express our support of both this collaborative approach to addressing homelessness in the Coachella Valley in general and the Lift to Rise organization in particular. MSA Consulting is a full-service civil engineering, planning, and land surveying consulting firm in the that has served in this valley since 1976. In these last 43 years, MSA has completed over 2,000 projects for institutional, public, private clients, and the majority of these projects are located here in our region. Our mission at MSA is to provide exceptional consulting services to collaboratively drive the success of our clients and communities. And that inclusion of the adverb collaboratively was very deliberate on our part. We recognize the crucial role that collaboration plays in our projects and in making them successful regardless of the size of our projects. Lift to Rise takes the same approach to tackle the challenges facing the Coachella Valley and its families. It acknowledges the important work already being done in the valley by many people and organizations. But it seeks to align our goals and to bring additional resources to the valley. And homelessness is a really complex problem, as we all know, and that requires a creative and collaborative approach to addressing homelessness and housing instability in the Coachella Valley. And I appreciate your leadership, as was said before, and your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All
Good evening, board. I'm not here for an interview for a job, so I'll make that quite clear. First of all, thank you for holding this. I think it's really important, even though some of us and staff have been working on this for a few months. I think it is important for the new board members to really get up to speed on how we've gotten here. More importantly, what are some options, whichever you may choose. So thanks again, Jennifer, for holding this. I appreciate it a lot. I'm just here on behalf of Supervisor Perez and our Deputy CEO of Homeless Services, Natalie Kumuro. Both of them regret they couldn't be here tonight, but are fully behind the overwhelming recommendation of Barbara's report about building this collaborative. Obviously, like Tom said, the county really has a huge role in providing homelessness services throughout the county, but government can't do it alone. And we have to be able to work together with as Christy said, with our nonprofits, with public institutions and private institutions to solve this problem. Additionally, the county, as you know, funded ROYS for quite a number of years, and that funding basically dried up last year. In just a recent meeting that the supervisor and I had with the head of DPSS, we're actually being able to secure an additional contribution this year towards the collaborative effort with the CV Housing First model. I want to exit from the official side for just a little bit, and as a member of the core team of Barbara's research and report, I just kind of want to address some of the misconceptions that I think might have come out, one, while that report was being done, but more importantly, from the reporting. And I would agree with Christy. I think that Barbara really gave us the 30,000-foot view report and really addressing people who really understand the homelessness situation more than, say, the common layman. So, you know, some of that needs to be dumbed down, for lack of a better word. Staff will attest to this, that when I was on the call when we talked about interviewing Barbara to do the report initially, I was the biggest skeptic about bringing her on, and primarily for the fact that we just hired a deputy CEO for the county. I didn't think somebody coming from outside would be able to tell us what to do. But I actually became her biggest fan and biggest champion once we went through the process. And to Christy's point, what we really saw is this was completely data-driven, as well as it could be data-driven given the county's data collection system. But it still was as data-driven as we could possibly be. There's been comments that there was no community engagement, and that's the furthest thing from the truth, because there were listening sessions throughout the entire valley. Additionally, the work groups had numerous people in it. And then even in the final process of coming up with the report, pretty much every nonprofit organization that's really active in homelessness, every governmental organization, and some other nonprofits were involved in that. And again, to the point is that we prioritize what recommendations should come out in that report. And the number one recommendation, voted number one by every single one unanimously, was to establish this collaborative. I also want to point out that, and Barbara made this very clear, that we don't necessarily have to take every recommendation that was in the report. And I think that's where the collaborative can actually look at the totality of the report and working together and figuring out really what are the next steps. But it really, the primary goal is to establish that collaborative first. To Tom's point too, whether it's me or anybody else, is we really do need to have one point person that really does the transition, that really gets this off the ground and utilizes not only the report, but the great work that we've done as a community over the last year and a half. And then also, I also want to address the fact that there's been a lot of talk that Barbara said that there should absolutely be no West Side Shelter, Navigation Center, whatever new kind of term we want to talk about. And that's the furthest thing from the truth as well. While the collaborative was highlighted as an initial first step, while there was some criticism about the success of a shelter model and the data backs that up, I would, though, defend both the Coachella Valley Rescue Mission and Martha's Village in our valley, because they have adopted more of a housing first type approach than just what a strict shelter model is. So their programs really are kind of where we need to go, especially even in the West Valley. And I don't think this precludes us from establishing a navigation center in the West Valley. And I think, again, that could be a major role of the collaborative on what that type of center is, how we get the funding for that, who sends out the RFP, or how we do an RFP to operate that, et cetera. So again, it's not precluding the development of any kind of shelter or navigation center, but actually could be a complement to the work we do. You've heard a lot about the benefits of collective impact. I didn't know what collective impact was 2 years ago until I met Heather, and then she really blew me away, not just by her sheer intelligence, but giving me resources on what to read, and it really, really is the future of how you do systems change. And we are not going to solve homeless. In fact, we're never going to solve homeless. We will always have individuals who are going to experience homeless. But we can make a serious dent. And to Tom's point, we really are a leading region on this. Even Natalie sees where we're going as a region to be a really, really key point in how the county overall not only achieves reducing homelessness, but addresses the county's 10-year plan. So we are on the cutting edge of this. The collective impact, collaborative approach is the way to address this. And again, I just want to thank, too, like everyone else has the district, for your support. And it's not just your financial support that you've done, but your staff has been absolutely amazing to work with on just their compassion and their passion and the real grasp of what we need to do here. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Rodriguez. Do we have any other speakers? Yeah.
Good evening, B. Gonzalez. I'm not going to thank you again because everybody already thanked you, so that's enough of that, right? But I do want to mention, you know, me having been doing community work for about 30 years now, is that I completely and totally support the collaborative approach. I actually was invited to be part of the Barbara Poppy initiative, as well as working with Live to Rise. So you're probably thinking, okay, why is she getting involved with both organizations? Because I've been doing this type of work long enough to know that you can't tackle it just with one, on one end. And I don't mean any disrespect to anyone, but I hear a lot Palm Desert, I heard, you know, Palm Springs, I heard West Valley, but very few people took it beyond Indio. And that's always my concern, especially, I live in Indio, but, you know, I work with the school district and I represented the school district in both organizations, as well as the Riverside County Latino Commission, in which I do all the mental health work. So, you know, having done that and managing multiple millions of dollars through grants, I can't tell you that how effective it is to be able to form collaborations that can truly encompass the entire valley. And it just builds a such stronger approach to any problem that we have. Because as you know, I don't need to repeat it because everybody's already said it. So homelessness comes with a whole bunch of stuff, right? There's just so many things that also follow or that could lead folks in that direction. And I just, you know, want to implore you that you do consider a collaborative approach. Like I said, I did work with both groups, and not because I have a whole bunch of time to spare and do it, but just because I found it so important, and I always find it important in me as a person to engage with organizations that are willing to step up and truly take a look at the community and engage and be able to, you know, do it collectively. And I think it would be a great idea, especially for this board that has just expanded and is now looking at working in the east end of the valley. Again, not to forget the west end, because, you know, both ends need the same type of love. But I would ask that you seriously consider collaborative approach to be able to work together, you know, maybe both agencies or how we can do it. Because I think the collective approach would be the best. Thank you.
Anybody else wish to speak or any questions? All right, so let's have our board of directors in.
Is this on? No. So I just got to yell loud. How's yours? Hello? Okay. Thank you for everybody's work in and around this and whatever. Has anybody considered in the East Valley the utilization of opportunity zones? Come talk about it.
Sure. So Lift to Rise is hosting an investment summit. It's led by the Beneficial State Bank Foundation in Fresno with our counterparts in the Central Valley, Preston Prince from the Fresno Housing Authority. That will be in late May. Key stakeholders within the valley will be participating, and that's fundamentally one of the things on the agenda, is thinking about the use of opportunity zones.
Do you know how they work?
Yes, I know how they work, but this in terms of our pipeline goal to increase the supply by 10,000 units, that's one of the pieces of the pipeline work, is building folks' capacity around.
So for those of you who don't understand how opportunities work, zones work, and they're in the eastern Coachella Valley everywhere. There aren't many in the Palm Springs area because, frankly, it's a wealthier community. Opportunity zones, these are for wealthy people. These aren't for the run-of-the-mill. This is for Indian Wells. This is for Palm Desert. This is for Rancho Mirage. Wealthy people can invest their capital gains into an opportunity zone. And if they invest it for 5 years, they have no tax, or they have 50% tax on their capital gain. If they go 7.5 years, they got 3/4. If they go 10 years, they have no capital gains. So take a wealthy man, woman from Indian Wells who sells their business for $100 million that they bought for 25. They now have $75 million to play with, or maybe only half of that. And if they invest in land, building, whatever, that solves the building problem, whatever. Now the land issue, there's plenty of land down there, and someone ought to be identifying where, when. Monero Smith is the right group to get them involved. A great company, by the way. Great people with it. I know both Bob, the Bobs. And it's down there, and the reason it's so important, and you heard me, if you sat around here long enough to listen to me interview the candidates and whatever I'm going, there's no tax money coming from the East Valley. So we got to create it. But the opportunity zones create a mechanism for not just people from Indian Wells, I use them as an example because they're the wealthiest people I've seen, but anywhere in California to invest their money. And so do we need $75 million in housing and land? Do we need $100 million? Do we need $500 million? And this needs to be on the table, and now.
It is. Okay. Yeah, that's principally part of our Connect Capital work, our capital absorption work.
And I'm saying, we put money into this, we'll probably continue to put money into this, but frankly, the healthcare district's not in great financial shape for the long run. I you've heard me say that, whatever, and I'm the treasurer, and maybe I'm just crazy, but I kind of know how to count, and we're going to run out of money, and technically we're already out if you read the lease. Now, with that said, there's an enormous opportunity, and you're in banking. Mm-hmm. We should just be holding this up and raising funds, because not all of it, if you just Google opportunity zones, a map comes up, and go look at the green areas, and there's a ton of property in the East Valley. Thank you.
There's some genuine concerns for the community in working with the notion of an opportunity zone, and it begins with the way the narrative of how that initiative, it's not legislation, it's an initiative as part of the 2017 Jobs and Budget Tax Cut and Jobs Act.
Yeah, so
right now it's a free-for-all. It's pretty chaotic. What we know is that investors are running to get their money in time because there's a limit. You know, there's a time limit.
Do you know what that is? Because it's like 10 years.
No. For them to invest.
What do you think that is?
Within 6 months of them actualizing a gain. But in terms, this year is very critical for them to establish their investments. And the concern that we have at the Fed is that nowhere in that initiative does it say that the community must be involved in these decisions on what will be developed and where. So in urban areas is where most of this work is going to take place, right? And why is that? Because they're the most vulnerable, and it's the easy pickings to go in. And I'm going to use the example of South Los Angeles, although I could pick Salem, Oregon too. And the type of projects that can go in there freely are ones that are like, say, place 98th and Broadway, a hotel that none of the residents can afford to stay in and probably will not get a job in. So the threat of this initiative is huge as it relates to having the community at the table. So we can't advocate that enough, and we must take that position at the Fed, because the federal administration will not. The Treasury Department made it very clear when they issued this, and it was written by two people that are strong community developers, by the way. But when it came out, the Treasury Department made it very clear that there would be no requirement for community action to be at the table. And so while I believe it can improve communities if it is done in the right way with affordable housing in partnership with organizations like Lift to Rise, I have serious concerns about whether that will ever happen.
I don't agree. I'm working on an opportunity zone in San Bernardino in a building that I purchased coincidentally when the law was passed, and it has enormous potential, and we have really wealthy people in the market who would like to see their capital gains tax, and they'll wait 10 years. 10 years buys us a lot of time for a family that's in the streets today. And I think you're underestimating it, and you work for the Federal Reserve, so you probably know a hell of a lot more than I do.
Can I make comments? Oh, no, go ahead.
Comments or questions? Yes.
Does this
the
work?
Discussion.
Yeah. First of all, I want to thank everybody who talked today, and I also want to thank Carol, who's been the point person on this from the board, Jennifer, who's really made a lot of difference in the last few months, and the staff that has been working on this for a long time. I've said all along that it isn't the district's job to solve homelessness, but because it is a social determinants of health, we want to make a contribution. And I like the Barbara Poppy report because it said the first thing you need to do is to form a collaborative so that we don't have these different silos attacking the homelessness issue and basically saying, well, this is what's going to solve homelessness. And but it's funny, when I've been reading some of the online comments in the Desert Sun about some of the articles on homelessness, and every comment says, this is how you solve homelessness, this one thing. And the next comment is another thing, and the next comment, another thing. And the reality is, it's very complex. It has to be a whole bunch of different things, and that's why we need a collaborative. I would really like to see, and I think our job as a district is to help push the collaborative to form, and I think you presented a great idea today. I like Tom's idea of having the county person come in and help us transition to Lift to Rise, but I'm very excited, and I totally support this.
Hi, thank you everyone for showing up today. It's really great to hear the compassion and passion about our homeless crisis in our valley. And I would just like to bring it down to the level of a homeless person that we talk to all the time, along with Dr. Vines and myself. And, you know, for instance, at last Friday's pre-clinic, there was a person who said that she went to three different agencies and none of them could help her. Number one, she wasn't over 55. She hadn't been homeless for more than a year. There's all these issues, and nobody can tell her where to go. And we give her a little referral sheet, and they borrow my cell phone and call. And if they speak Spanish, they're out of luck. So especially when they get an answering machine. So I mean, I feel it personally. I was the one that said we need to establish a budget to hire the three people that Barbara Poppy recommended and get the collaborative going. I still think we need to do that. I love the idea of collaborating, or it's fitting our collaboration under the umbrella of Lift to Rise. I think that's a great idea. I personally feel that it needs to be established in the nonprofit world. And you know, Greg is a wonderful person. I love you. But please join us in the nonprofit world with your ideas. You know, that would be great if we could establish our collaborative under the nonprofit umbrella of Lift to Rise, or however we can do that. Fund the three positions. Get a first part of it was collective impact next steps. Establish a core leadership team. That I know that staff is well versed in knowing who to do that and get it moving. That's what I would recommend.
Could I address it?
I know what homelessness is on a personal level. Not only myself, but actually a child right now. So I get it. I work with these people every day too. That's the point of doing this, is so that we have as Les says a complete toolbox so that people can get help, because the services are out there. But additionally, through collective impact, that's how you change policy. So that's how you change some of these rules and regulations that come down from HUD and other agencies. So that's the importance of the collective. As far as my role, basically, we would run an MOU through whatever organization, which the county does already through a system like EDAs working on the housing can. Tom did it when he worked for the Salt and Sea Authority as well. So it's not about whether or not I become part of a nonprofit. I don't need this job. I have a job. I was approached by more than a few people to do it. I want to do it. I want to get this kickstarted. I don't necessarily plan on staying. So, you know, like I say, I can leave here tonight. If you don't want me to do it, that's fine. But so.
Any other comments, buddy?
First of all, I want to say that I'm very excited about the healthcare district being involved in this conversation. I think this is a very important topic, and unfortunately, I will not be participating in the decision making because, as Heather did say, that I have been involved with Live to Rise since the very beginning. I am on the board, and the Rev Foundation is the fiscal agent for Live to Rise at this time. I know that I trust you all to make a good decision.
Hi, everybody. Good evening. Thank you for your comments, what you've shared, and just for being here and listening and paying attention. And if any questions arise, we'll also take those as well. I think it makes sense for us to fund a collaborative. Sounds like the science and data back it up. It sounds like the community is in favor of it, and it just sounds also like what we need. Keeping in mind very strongly what B. Gonzalez shared with us, we should continue to include in this collaborative people who are already doing the work, like Martha's, CDRM, Galilee Center in the East Valley. We should also continue to ask our cities not only to match these $100,000 to the collaborative, but also to continue funding these resources in our communities. It should not just stop at the collaborative. So if folks on our board, we can continue to advocate for that, for our cities to match beyond this, outside of this. It's also important because every single one of the people that spoke today said it's going to take more than one kind of effort, and that's the kind of effort I would like us to see our money put behind.
Well, thank you everyone for making the time to come here tonight, and I know we were trying to... You can't hear me?
Oh.
No.
Very brief.
Just very briefly, I just want to say, before you deliberate, you know, I'm learning a lot about Live to Rise, and Live to Rise has a lot of fans here today, and you can add one more, because I'm becoming a big fan. What I haven't heard tonight is anything, and it may be there, but about the experience and the expertise that Live to Rise has with homelessness. Hang on 1 second. And I understand that housing stability is one component of homelessness. We've learned a lot of other terminology over the last couple years. You know, prevention, diversion, wraparound housing, or permanent supportive housing, wraparound services, and so on and so forth. Housing stability is one component. The other things that I heard Live to Rise does are incredibly important to our community. I guess I care so deeply about addressing homelessness that I don't see it as a subcommittee of some other organization. I think it needs to stand on its own. I can see Live to Rise having a role in that, having a seat at the table, bringing its resources to bear. I'm not seeing that it should necessarily be the driver. The collaborative that I envision has people at the table, organizations at the table, including Live to Rise, but also the others, Desert Healthcare District, the county, CVAC, cities, care providers like that have been mentioned today. I'd rather see an independent entity that manages the effort with regard to homelessness. Thank you.
Can I ask a question? Who do you see is going to design that, put it together, and manage it? Because somebody has to do it. Are you recommending that CVAC do that?
No, not at all. In fact,
Yeah, I already have a day job, but thank you very much. Here's my suggestion, and I'm an accountant, so I'm a left brain kind of guy, although I've become very right brain about homelessness. I think we need to write that script. I don't think we should define it here tonight. And that's our thought, the committee's thought, in getting somebody, I think Greg is well qualified, but if you have somebody else, that can manage the process of creating an entity. I've heard Carol talk about a nonprofit. I think that could make sense. I think it opens up certain funding revenues that otherwise wouldn't exist. I can see that entity that oversees the homelessness effort be very inclusive of all the stakeholders and all the expertise, and we have a lot of expertise here in the desert, so put them together to manage it. The structure, board and executive committee, the normal thing, but an entity that is exclusively devoted to managing the homelessness process. I don't know, Les, if that answers your question.
Well, I'm not understanding the can. Yeah. But to me, the CAN is not a subcommittee. It may be a subcommittee of Lift to Rise, but it the CAN will be the homelessness collaborative.
Right.
And that it will have a lot of resources that it can pull from.
Yes.
It'll have data. It'll be able to talk to the different people around. So I understand what you're saying, but I don't see it as exclusive, mutually exclusive like you do.
Yeah, and I have to comment because I knew nothing about Lift to Rise before Tom introduced me, and it was really in that conversation about looking at what San Diego had done as a collective impact, and it was actually led by the county, and the it's now used as a national model of success, and I know how much effort it takes to get where Heather's gotten with Lift to Rise. And the amount of time and effort it would take to put together a governance structure, to pull all those people together. And we talked about momentum, and I think Greg is the person to lead this. And Lift to Rise has a mechanism to bring him into that tomorrow. So for me, I wanted to bring forward for discussion that opportunity because it seemed like a leapfrog to me to get into Barbara Poppy's report. And I don't know where their disconnect was, why we didn't hear about Lift to Rise earlier and all the work that they're doing. But the infrastructure that they have and the resources, and I'm an academician, I have my doctorate in public health, and all she had to do is open her mouth, and I'm like, oh my God, slow it down. Sorry, Heather, you're really, really bright. And that's a good thing, really. That's a reflection on me. But what my knowledge was of the work that she's doing, and understanding that the focus that they have not only on homelessness but the other determinants of health that really collectively will drive. So I felt they needed to be heard. I have the greatest admiration and respect for what Greg's done, and I think he can carry it forward. And there's no reason why we can't make this happen. And that it would leapfrog, and there's a governance structure in place with an amazing board, including one of our current board members. So I was just blown away. I was actually literally blown away with the work they were doing, and I think they should be put up as a national model. And this will only, in my humble opinion, expand their work tremendously with the support of an agency and hopefully the support of CVAC. So that's why I asked for them to present.
Just to be clear on that point, I agree. My suggestion for moving forward is let's not tonight define the structure of that collaborative. Let's give it proper thought and deliberation. And from what I'm hearing, can Lift to Rise be a part of that? Should they be a part of that ultimate collaborative? Absolutely. I'd be extremely disappointed if they weren't. So I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying that in terms of the structure for moving forward, I think it has to be a structure that is exclusively and entirely focused on homelessness.
Thank you, Savia.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. My concept is that we need an incubator, like Coachella Valley Economic Partnership, and I see that our Lift to Rise is an incubator. At some point in time, our collaborative will be its own nonprofit, just like everybody else has spun off. So that is just our way forward. But we need momentum. We need to get this moving. You know, we did a homeless initiative a year ago, and we're still working on it, and people are still homeless. So that's my suggestion, is that let's let Lift to Rise be our incubator. If Greg can join it, I would just love that. And let's fund the positions that are needed, and let's move on.
Could I just make a proposal for direction to the board, to the staff, that and see if the rest of the board agrees on it, that the staff bring back a proposal with a dollar amount that they're asking from the district to move forward with using Greg and Lift to Rise. We can define how it's going to fit together later. In fact, I would hope that Greg and Lift to Rise would define how it's going to fit together. I do agree with Sabby that when the community starts talking about, well, who's doing homelessness, they need to have one place that they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll say, oh, it's the Lift to Rise homelessness camp.
Camp, sorry.
But I don't know yet. We haven't gotten that far yet. We need to have this worked on. And I don't want us to delay anymore. So I would propose that staff come forward with a proposal to whatever funding we need. And I'm channeling the treasurer here. It's not like we have a lot of money that we can do, but I do think we can put enough so that it can start moving next month after the next board meeting when we can approve this. So that would be my...
Next week.
Whenever. Well, if staff can get the proposal together again, but by then. But the point is, let's move on and let's get something that we can vote on that has a dollar amount so that we can start working on it.
Heather, you had another comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond. And Sabby, I know that we haven't spent a lot of time together talking about the work to Lift to Rise. And in some ways, Jennifer's response to Lift to Rise, I can remember the first time that Christy came into my office as well and said, like, oh my gosh, what is this? I didn't know that it existed. We built the work of Lift to Rise kind of in some ways undercover while we were incubated at the food bank. We did not go out and do a huge media tour. So I just want to point out a couple of things, because this is the place where, for me, Tom offered, and it's true, and I told you guys before, Lift to Rise has a ton of work. We don't need more work, but we principally move on principles and values. And a core value that I hold is that we should not be duplicating resources, and we should not be duplicating work. And homelessness is a specific issue, but the housing stability can is about solving people's housing stability. Homelessness is part of solving folks' housing stability. If you look across the country where collaboratives are working and where a collective impact model is working, you have to be targeting an issue at scale. So the reason why rent burden is the indicator and not homelessness is because we have to think about solutions that are going to move things for thousands and thousands of people, not just 2,000 people, but those 2,000 people are critically important. But I would absolutely argue that homelessness and housing are inherently interconnected in all of the work we're doing. So the stabilizing supports, the policy work, the work to build out a pipeline to increase the supply of permanent supportive housing as well, that all of that stuff is inherently interconnected. But the other place where this, when you guys came to me in the middle of a huge piece of work and said, could you do this? Could you talk about this? The reason why I stayed up late and put this proposal together is fundamentally when we think about collaboration, I can tell you, Sabby, this is hard work. In some ways, it's brain damage. And getting folks together to collaborate. So Lift to Rise is funded by the Annie Casey Foundation. They're the leader in America on what it means to collaborate and how you build collaboratives. So I'm not here because we need any more money. We would love your support, but frankly, we don't need your money. I'm here because we need to expand. If there's going to be a housing piece of work that involves homelessness in a collaborative, I was actually really excited. Nobody told me about the Poppy Report, but when I heard you guys wanted to build a can, I was like, oh, that's cool. They're kind of following our model. My mentor, Mariana Urquila, she was the first person to build a collaborative action network in Washington, D.C. with the Shaw Collaborative. So absolutely other folks taking on the model, but you can't collaborate in a vacuum. The partners that you mentioned, they work with us on stabilizing supports. When we think about what it's going to take to get investors, folks like the Federal Reserve Bank and other folks to the table, We have to do this together. The folks that work with us, they would be really annoyed if there was a separate work group. I went to the James Irvine Foundation and said, hey, the Desert Healthcare District's gonna build a homelessness camp. And they went, what? Because they know that they're investing in the housing camp. And principally, you think about it. So I'm not a homelessness policy expert. Dr. Gary Painter on our board is both the Director of Social Innovation at USC, and he's the Director of the Homelessness Policy Research Institute. He's the last person who wants Lift to Rise to take more work. I took this to him and he said, absolutely, that fits right there. It's mutually reinforcing to the other work. So I'm not trying to be defensive, but to say I didn't sleep a lot this week and I showed up, I gave them a proposal last week and I came here because I believe fundamentally the thing that gets at me the most is the fact that you guys didn't know about Lift to Rise, that we weren't connected earlier, that we're wasting resources, and it doesn't matter if we don't want to work together. It's a leadership issue that we have to get together and align our work.
Thank you. Yay. Heather for president is going on the ballot for me.
Okay. Oh, another one?
Heather, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
If we do decide to fund another collaborative outside of your CAN, what happens? Do you participate? Do you not participate?
I mean, look, like, we're not going to, look, we're in the interest of results. So anybody else who's rowing towards results, that's great. But I'll tell you, Karen, we make a huge investment in data. We have an academic partner that's embedded in our office. We have capacity building work that's already happening. We have a framework that's expanding. I would be disappointed not because I want to take on another piece of work, not because I want your guys' resources, but fundamentally, we all have to get everyone to the same table. We already have a problem. In our housing stability can next week is the first policy subcommittee. Some of you guys are going, it's on Wednesday. 17 people RSVP'd. Well, 17 people wanted to come on Thursday as well. Today, oh, Mike is here. Mike and I had a phone call because there's a few other people that really want to come on that day. Guys, it's the same folks coming to the same meetings, and we don't need to collaborate more. We don't need more meetings. We need to get to action, and that involves consolidating and putting things together.
Action.
I will share from my own organizing experience, what you're saying is very true. You need to figure out what the larger question really is, right? It's not how do we keep feeding people, is why are people still hungry? You're completely right, and so mm-hmm. your camp does make sense to me as an organizer and as someone who's been out in the East Valley for a really long time doing this.
Yeah, and I just want to offer, Sabby, if this work was integrated, we're not going to overlook it. We actually did make a budget, we just didn't prepare it for you guys, and I presented it to you guys. I said to Tom, we don't want all this funding for staff because we have a good chunk of resource and we can leverage this. So in putting together a budget, we need over half of the budget for partner interventions and support, because one thing the Poppy report that your guys' recommendation left off, there was no money for implementation. You cannot put people together and not have a budget for folks to immediately move to action. You can leverage the strong backbone we've built and put a huge chunk of your resources for folks to immediately move into action, for folks to immediately move into capacity building of what it is to be part of a collaborative. Collaboration is fun, like it's a pat on the back, right? But collective impact is about contribution, how you put dinner on the table. And that requires work and that requires money. And that's what we were thinking about in coming together is, hey, we can open our arms a little bit wider, expand our shoulders. I'm getting lost with analogies here. And you guys can, you guys can inject resource that could help us in taking on this additional work, and we could leverage the strong path that we've already paved.
Thank you, Heather. Is there any other comments from the audience on the board? Well, I think we have a direction from Vice President Zendel to have staff bring back, and I'd like to add that to the agenda for this coming meeting on Tuesday for us to consider. And so we'll make it public. I think you have already submitted a proposal, Heather?
Yeah.
Yes? So if we could get that?
Yes.
Yes. So if we could get that added, I think we have sufficient time for public notice. And we can deliberate some more. We had a lot of food for thought this evening. We have six more days.
If I could just add one thing. I really think we need to move quickly on this. And that's why I want to see, for lack of a better word, the Greg component in that. Because this isn't going to be the work of the district. We've sort of done our job. We jump-started it. We got the study done. And now we're saying, here's some ideas. We'll help you some more. But we have a lot of other things to do in the district, and homelessness is just one of the small number, mm-hmm. the large number of things. So have it include that too. Does anybody disagree with that?
I'm fully supportive of that. Do we need to vote on this one, Greg?
Or? No, it's just
direction. No, I need to give us direction.
Okay.
They have direction.
Now you have direction. Are we all clear?
Yes.
We're all clear. Yes. All right, with that, we'd like an update on the Homelessness Initiative Collective Fund.
Yeah, you want to hear about the collective fund?
I think we already heard a little bit about the matching and the Palm Springs Partnership Matching Funds update. Can we have a...
Thank you, gentlemen.
So again, on behalf of CVAG and the county as well, again, kudos goes to the district for last year's initial matching and then the agreement to do it again. For those of you in the audience who may not know, is that the district did step up last year. Really brief history, sorry. Roy's Desert Resource Center was primarily funded by the county, but was originally going to have cities donate, and it really was only Palm Springs and Rancho Mirage and Palm Desert that did that. So obviously the county had to kick in resources. So when Roy's closed and we realized we needed to do something quickly, not only to house the people that were using their services only at night, but more importantly, how do we look at the evolution of the Housing First model and how we implement? So that's how the CV Housing First concept came up. And to fund that, basically last year, correct me if I'm wrong, Chrissy, I think we had six cities, and somebody from the district might, six, correct? Six cities contributed $103,000, and the district stepped up and matched every city, and including the tribe, donated as well. So this year, again, the district agreed to contribute at least $700,000, I believe, for the matching fund. So far this year, we've gotten Desert Hot Springs, La Quinta, and Rancho Mirage, as well as Palm Desert, have all voted just recently to do the $100,000. To Tom's point, Rancho Mirage cut their donation last year to $50,000 to the CV Housing First, and then $50,000 to, I think, a combination of CDRM and Martha's, but actually came back in with the full $100,000, and then they will do additional donations to the nonprofits as well. I believe Palm Springs, you're getting ready to vote, or, yeah. Should put it permanently in your budget, Jeff. So, and so we are still in conversations with Indian Wells. We think the precedent of Rancho Mirage going forward might help a little bit on that, as well as Cathedral City. We've had discussions about waiting till after the election, special election in August, just because of some of the politics that are going on there, but we're still having the conversations to see if they'll do that. And then Indio, I don't know if Elaine is still here or not. I think she left. So, but Elaine, yeah, and I don't know if you guys have decided to, you're just going to just fund CDRM probably still, I think, correct?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think we want to do what's best.
Okay. So that's what's really encouraging is that even just in a year is that the number of cities that have really stepped up. And this, again, this is no slam on Indio, and you know that, because they've done a lot with CVRM and Martha's over the years. But I think what people are starting to see, and I think what the beauty of this collaborative will be, this is about leveraging resources as well. Not only within our cities and with the healthcare district and the county, but how do we leverage resources not only for the collaborative, but more importantly, that collaborative including those nonprofits so that we can get more resources to them than just the HUD dollars. So it's really good. So that's kind of an update. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer on that. So.
Questions?
I would just say that obviously this is a transition. In that, eventually, whatever this work is with Housing First will be part of the collective and managed through the collective and hopefully funded through the collective and all that. That we're doing this sort of as a bridge. That's my understanding.
Correct. And I want to make it clear too that this is not to take away any resources from the other nonprofits. And again, the nonprofits are an essential element to this collaborative. It's our goal to actually find them more resources through this, because there are so many restrictions when it comes to HUD funding, some state funding, that it would be really nice as we look for innovative ways to build rent assistance pots or, you know, down payment pots or diversion money or prevention money, that we've got that flexibility.
Thank you. Any other comment?
So I move we...
more comment.
Thank you. I'm here to speak on the Palm Springs Partnership. My name is Jay Verrata. I'm the
Community and Economic Development Director for the City of Palm Springs. First of all, thank you all very much for your ongoing partnership with the city. You know, we just got started ramping up this past July. As you know, our MOU for matching funds, we had to go out and establish new agreements with the county for assistance to increase the size of our outreach team. And we've also established contracts with a service provider for wraparound services. So we are well underway with that. And one interesting thing we found is that through the additional services you've helped provide, we're seeing a better maximization of existing resources. This could be in the form of housing vouchers, mainstream benefits, contacting people in the evenings and weekends, which we were not able to do before without the assistance of the Desert Healthcare Foundation. So we're doing a lot of additional things that we think are beneficial, and we do support your ongoing, we do appreciate your ongoing support with that. And just sort of as a quick indication of the numbers we have, according to our agreement, housing placements, we targeted 75 permanent housing placements, and so far we're at 65, and that's pretty much halfway through the year. Employment, we may not be as strongly suited for creating jobs for people who are gaining employment, because out of 168 we anticipated, we're at 21. Mainstream benefits were about halfway there of 324 in terms of assistance, and we have 185 service units of mainstream benefits. And I'm going to jump to behavioral and substance abuse placement. We're at 11 out of 16 right now. What I skipped was the unduplicated contacts. We do want to scrub our numbers a little more, but right now it's showing about 586 out of a targeted goal of 84. So clearly, we were able to get out there and do a lot of outreach and put people in touch with resources. Thank you again.
So that 584 was, you don't know, it's unduplicated?
We are scrubbing the numbers to make sure our service providers gave us, and I'm sure they did, the unduplicated versions.
Wow. Amazing.
They may be, thank you. Any other questions, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Great work, you guys. Okay. Any other, yes? Great.
Good evening. Jeff Kors, Mayor Pro Tem from Palm Springs, and co-chair of the Homelessness Task Force, but also our Homelessness and Affordable Housing Subcommittee, which was recently combined the two because they're so interconnected, as I think we've all discussed and heard tonight. I do want to touch a little bit about sort of the Palm Springs programs, because through your funding, we've been able to take some programs we had started and increase them, and I think Jay's sort of sharing the results, and our goals in most of the categories are better than I think we all had hoped, and working with staff on some pretty aggressive goals for this funding. And in a way, we've been an incubator, because now there are other cities looking at these crisis teams. We had one that we funded ourselves when I was first on council, and actually former council member Foote had the idea that we should have our own crisis team. The county, I think, was able to afford one for the entire Coachella Valley. And so the results of having our own really impacted, and then with your match, we now have two, and we're really seeing an increase in results. So I just wanted to share that. Of course, thank you, along with everyone else, for really being such a game changer on this. But I think that program, and then having Martha's do sort of those wraparound services to help people get benefits, help people, you know, into other programs, has really made a difference. The employment is tough. It's tough to find jobs, but I think that is starting to see some legs as well. And we know when someone has a job, you know, they're more likely to be able to afford to stay in housing. The only other thing I just want to share is Christy and I are recommending, and it'll be on our April 3rd agenda, there are 20 through the crisis teams. We know there are 20 individuals or families in Palm Springs residents who have the HUD housing vouchers but can't find a place to live. And so HUD has decreased the amount of those vouchers, and rents in Palm Springs have gone up. So the delta is about $330,000-ish a month. So we're recommending $80,000 to $100,000 before our budget process be put into a fund to cover that delta, because for $4,000 for a year to get someone off the streets into housing as a voucher seems like a really good use of funds. So we're going to bring that to council at that meeting, but I did want to let you know that was coming, and we'll see how that goes. And through that process, assuming council supports it, we can report back how effective that's been and what the best model to where we're going to get put the funds and how that's all going to work, and we'll work with staff on that as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
Any other comments?
Okay, so we have two issues on the table here. So let's go to the Palm Springs piece of it that this has been talked about right now. So if you were to turn to page 17 through 19, I guess, yeah, 19. So what we're asking for here is the memorandum of...
Is this for the foundation or for the...
Foundation.
So, so I didn't conclude the other...
Turn the page.
We're just,
yeah, we're still
we're
on
just
the foundation.
Making it online. Okay. Thanks, sorry.
The thing that we're moving to right now is under agenda 2B.
Okay.
And we'll come back to it. Okay. So... 2B then is the matching funds that we're talking about with the City of Palm Springs with regard to the wraparound services as well as the supporting mental health housing response team. So that MOU was initially completed October 23rd of 2017. There was some, it took some time to get those teams built up and get this process started. So what staff is recommending is an amendment to that MOU to extend the time period, which originally was supposed to be through 2017 to 2018. So we're asking for an extension of 2018 to 2019, as well as adding some measurable dates for quarterly reports, etc. So that's what's in the amended MOU for the board to consider for approval.
I move we adopt the recommendation of the staff.
I second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
We have to go roll call.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have Director DeLara?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perezquio?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Zindel?
Yes.
And President Huerta?
Aye. Thank you.
Okay, the other item, 2A, is on page 14 and 15 of your packet. On when we're talking about approving the additional $700,000 at the November, actually, I'm sorry, that was at the December 18th meeting, part of the recommendation on the staff report was not only the approval of the $700,000, which was still part of the remaining original $2 million of the Homelessness Initiative Fund, but there were some staff item recommendations that could potentially be used to direct those funds to, if they were retained within the foundation, to be utilized to for purposes of, you know, doling out to whatever the community-based organizations that might need them, whether it's CBAY, whether it's Shalabazi Rescue Mission, etc. The board approved committing the $700,000 to the homelessness part of it, but what staff is asking for now is clarification how those monies were intended to be used. So provided options on page 15. The first option would be to give that $700,000 directly to CBAG, like the prior $700,000 was, for their purposes to utilize it. Or we could go with some options internally where the board and staff could determine how those funds are utilized. So just looking for clarification on how the monies are intended to be dispersed.
What do you suggest, Chris?
You know, we we could do either way. I mean, recommendation is that staff could maintain those monies. Part of it could go with working with CVAG or whatever other organizations could work with this. Could also be used towards the collaboration. So however, with working with staff and board in your direction, how you would like those monies spent.
I guess option one is basically to do this year what we did last year, right?
Just turn the money over to CVAG.
In other words, do the same thing. Right. And is there a downside to that? That's what I'm trying to understand.
No, there's a downside to that. The current issue right now is that not knowing how the Housing First model of that, since the contract currently ends June, looking to extend that contract for probably a 6-month period. But beyond that, other than working with developing the collaborative, so that was part of the reason why staff was considering foundation maintaining control of those funds, so can determine whether it made sense to part of that to go to CVAG, whether it needed to be all of it, whatever, to help either fund the Housing First or other housing related, homelessness related options, whether it be CDRM.
So my preference would be not to give CVAG the money before they know what they're going to do with it. So I guess it's really option three, is that you give them whatever they extend the contract to, we give them whatever the matching funds are, but then if until they make the decision about what they're going to do after that, we retain the money in the foundation.
Because the way it was actually written in the staff report was we were going to collect the monies from the cities into the foundation. I would not recommend that, but those monies should go to CVAG, and then the $700,000 that the foundation committed with option three.
So it's option three
to determine through board's guidance.
So I would move we adopt option three.
I don't know that we can move because it's not an action item, is it?
It is an action
item. It's just a confirmation.
It's a clarification as to your intent.
Okay, clarification for intent.
May I have a public comment on that item before you give direction, please? Thank you.
Sorry to jump in. Christy Holstich, City of Palm Springs Council Member, Vice Chair of CVAG. I would recommend strongly that you continue what you've done in the past. Maybe you don't want to allocate it fully. However, the importance of the matching grants for the cities and actually doing the matching is so important for holding together the collective and cohesive work that we're doing. We've gone a long way. You've heard now two tribes are participating, a number of cities are participating who've never participated before. So my fear and my prediction is that if you pull that from CVAG, the goal of CVAG is to all move forward in the same direction and to hold all the cities together in doing this work. And my fear and my prediction is if you do not do that and you hold it separately, that you'll see that many cities, like our city, has not yet decided on a matching grant. We wouldn't understand, speaking from the city, for our task force, what we would be matching. And I think it allows people to move in different directions when this has been really key in keeping us all together as stakeholders.
So what would CVAG do with this money if it decides not to extend the contract with Path of Life or someone else after?
So that hasn't come to our committee. You can talk about that. My goal personally, and I think our vision, and I've talked to Greg about this, you can speak as well. I think that the point of what we're going to do for a collaborative and for a collective is move that into a collective. But what we need to do right now is hold the work together and all move forward together in that way. I think it will be really chaotic if you split it up and you don't fund the way that we've been all funding before, because that's how Roy's failed. People dropped out because it's like herding cats over here sometimes and in managing all the different jurisdictions. So I think the goal is not that CVAG, and I don't think Tom Kirk, if you were here, would say he wants to do this work forever. He wants to transition it over to a collective, and I want to see that too. But like CVAG is the most important thing of the CVAG committee, in my opinion, is holding all the cities together and keeping them accountable. And if we don't have that, they're not accountable and they won't fund.
I see the value of that, so I'll withdraw my motion. And would someone like to make another motion?
Well, should we just, I think what you're asking is that we allocate the funds and hold them, and then we award them when a city's made a commitment, like they put up the money.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's how it worked last year.
Yeah,
that's how we did it last year.
Yeah. So why don't we recommend the staff bring the resolution back to the board meeting next week to do just that?
Okay.
Exactly.
That's option.
You have the option just to clarify.
Is it option?
In fact, option one.
We can do that now.
Because the funds were approved at a prior
yeah,
board.
Yeah, okay.
You can do that
I'm
now.
Comfortable with that.
I'm comfortable with
that. I was
that
a little confused by reading the options.
And I just want to address Les's point on, so what we're looking at right now, just in order to keep continuity, especially as we go through this transition phase, is to extend Passive Life's contract for 6 more months. I'm going to be quite honest, and I think Passive Life has done an amazing job, but there are some questions about some of the services they've done. So we will probably be going out for another RFP. The housing first element will remain part of what this match is, because that has been where the cities have bought in. Because a lot of them already support the service providers as well. So just to make sure that you know that the housing first element will be part. And to Christy's point, and Tom has made it quite clear, he doesn't want to continue homeless services out of CVAG. We really would like the CVAG homeless committee and the elected officials that sit on there to start dealing with policy decisions on how we meet the RENA standards and how we build more affordable housing to address that element of homelessness. So hopefully that clarifies.
Is staff clear?
Yes.
Are you clear? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have any other comments at this time? Okay. The MOU for Palm Springs?
We completed.
Okay, all right. So with that, we will
adjourn. Do you want a 5-minute break?
Or yeah.
Do
you go? 5-minute break?
Do we need a break before we go into the next
session? Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's very high.
Thank you. We're going to take a 5-minute break and go into closed session.